Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, we're recording. Hello, everybody. How is everybody doing? Not that you can answer that question.
It's been a very, very busy week.
Mm.
Why can't I answer that question?
No, I was saying, I hope everybody, how are you all doing?
Oh,
meaning
I see.
The listeners.
God, it sounded quite funny,
that. Yeah, well, it was not too dissimilar to, yes, how are you? I mean, when I watched that, I almost said, I'm fine, thanks. It was such a direct question.
Mm. It was a Fleabag moment.
Yeah, it was a bit of a Fleabag moment, wasn't it? It was
very straight down the lens.
It was very interesting. We won't discuss it.
Let's not.
But I'm sure everybody's got an opinion about
it.
But how are you?
Well, I'm quite looking forward to this week because I've got some things to talk about. Mm-hmm. But firstly, I want to talk about something that happened at the weekend, which was the BGT final.
Oh, yeah.
And we don't really watch Britain's Got Talent.
We do not.
It's not because we don't like it or anything. It's just that it's just not on our radar.
I was unaware that it was on.
We just miss it. Well, I knew it was on because I bloody love looking at what Amanda's wearing every day.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, she does sort of what I do when I do the Masked Singer, which is like parade around in our outfits, because I think I could speak for both Amanda and I when we say that we just get so excited doing shows like that because it's a chance for us to get dressed up in the most outlandish outfits. The more outlandish, the better. I always look at Amanda and I go, well done, Amanda.
I'm quite jealous of that, I think.
It's so fun.
Yeah, because I do like getting dressed up. We're going to a party this weekend, in fact, on Saturday night, and I've been thinking about what to wear at that party. Yeah, we're going to a surprise party, and Davina was slightly anxious that I was going to blow the surprise.
Mm.
The listener, the person's party, do they think they'll listen to this podcast? They could do, couldn't they?
They might do.
They might do. Happy birthday, by the way. Whoever it is. So anyway, we're going to a party on Saturday night. I'm really excited. I've been thinking literally every day. I've had a little change of heart about what I might wear.
I wear the best clothes.
I'm going to wear my kimono, I think, this weekend.
Yes.
I promised you listeners that I would post a picture of that. But on,
looks so good,
on Saturday, when we go to this party, you take a picture of us in it. We could have a picture of both of us. We'll post that. Do you know what you're wearing?
Something outrageous.
That could be anything. It's all you've got.
I mean, I've got an enormous collection of outrageous clothing, so it'll be something outlandish.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it. But I like an excuse to dress up, and you being on the telly get to do that a lot, and I'm slightly jealous of that.
And I love. Well, what happened to me was I had a few dark years where I didn't get dressed up on the telly at all.
No, it was just long lost family stuff and things like that. It was all a bit.
And I, you know, it's quite a sort of straight, normal wardrobe, long lost. Well, I mean, you can't turn up at someone's house looking like a peacock, can you? It's like.
I mean, you could, but.
No, because it's all about them and it would look awful.
It would look
awful.
Yeah.
So, what I'm trying to say is I a bit like you, but on a much lower level. Because you try and inform yourself so you've got something to talk about at a dinner party. You know, you like you want to know things about relevant ideas. And I know probably we're going to talk about AI at some point.
AI.
Because it's relevant and it's of the moment. And I'm going to also talk about AI a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, what's as important as AI? Who won BGT? Can you tell me?
Well, it would be somebody unknown to me because it's normal people.
But what's interesting
regular,
is you don't know who won it, and it's a big show. It's arguably the biggest show on television at the moment.
Well,
I would argue that you don't know who won it.
No,
it's important that we know this kind of stuff.
Brian from Chichester won it with his dog.
Weirdly, no one from the UK won it.
Oh, it's not Britain's Got Talent.
No, it's a Norwegian.
No.
And he's called Viggo Venn.
Uh-huh.
And he was a comedian. And I saw a little sketch of him on Instagram, and I actually thought, I've got to say, Viggo is quite funny. I mean, I really did enjoy his sketch. I'm going to show you a couple of little things of Viggo.
Okay. It's a good name, Viggo. But I only know a Viggo Mortensen.
Yes, it's a great name, isn't it?
Which was in that film Eastern Promises that we watched recently. Remember that one about the Russians?
Yes.
Yeah, it was good.
Hello, I am Viggo. I'm from Norway, but I live in the UK now.
Good.
Norway is very boring.
It's just he looks quite funny.
Yeah, yes,
he's very amusing. So anyway, I looked him up today. Yeah. And I thought, oh, I wonder what they're saying about him now. Anyway, he was due to appear on Lorraine.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a bit of controversy because, and it made me think of Big Brother and all those great people that came out of the Big Brother house to booze.
Mm-hmm.
People booed him.
Where?
In the audience. When he won, because apparently there was another kid, and people that watch it will hate me because I don't know who the kid is, who people think should have won in the audience, but everybody at home voted for Viggo. Oh. There's nothing anybody can do about it. Home voted. You can't boo the guy that's won. It's not his fault that he won. And I thought, how horrible that this is his exciting moment on television. He's won the biggest entertainment kind of talent show on telly. And he got booed by the audience. It's awful.
And I thought, because you mentioned Lorraine, I thought he got booed by Lorraine briefly. She had him on his show and she went, boo, in a Dundonian accent, you know.
No. Is she from Dundee?
She lives that way, yeah. She lives in Arbroath, I think, or Broughty Ferry, you know, where we went to see Janie Godley that way. That, she lives out there, apparently. Mm. But whether she's from there or not, I don't know. But anyway, so he was booed by the audience of Britain's Got Talent.
And then he said he was
Shame
ill.
Shame on them. Yeah.
Too ill to go on Lorraine, but I think...
He just felt...
Well, it would be hard to go on to Lorraine and have somebody sort of talk about booing you and... You know, I just want him to say, like, pay no attention to that because remember, people voted for you to win and people love you.
Oh.
And it's just rude.
It's very nice of you to do that for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I must watch, like, a clip of it or something like
that. Yes, I mean, I think it is worth watching. I think it's a shame. It's in lots and lots of papers, the fact that he got booed, and I just feel very bad for him.
Oh. Okay, so... Let's just set the scene. It's Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
We've been filming all day today. You've been filming things for Own Your Goals with Oti Mabuse.
Oh my God, it was so good.
Yeah, she's good fun, isn't she?
She's so funny.
Yeah.
I've got a good reel to post about that tomorrow.
And then you've been on the One Show tonight, plugging your wares. Documentary.
Because we've got the documentary. It's airing tomorrow, but this is going out on Friday. So it would have aired last night.
How was it on the One Show, all right?
Very nice indeed.
Who were the hosts?
Alex and Alex. Alex Jones and Alex...
Scott. A couple of ladies.
Yeah, and it was really good, actually, talking about contraceptives with two women. It was nice. Imagine. It was good.
Yeah, good. I've been to Chelsea's football ground tonight, the Stamford Bridge. I was invited by a friend there who runs something called Grassroots Soccer, which I think takes kids from very poor parts of the world and helps them get a leg up into the world of football. Not to become professional footballers necessarily, but just to help them. And the grassroots things provides money and support and help for people with various mental health problems and social mobility, I think they call it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very good. I was supposed to play, but as you all know, I haven't gone on about it or anything, but I broke my leg 3 weeks ago.
I'm joking. Yeah. Can I say something? Yeah. You have been heroic about your broken leg.
Good.
You haven't gone on about it. No.
I have a bit.
No, but people ask you why you're limping and you tell them you've got a broken leg. You don't moan about it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Very good.
And really appreciate that. And also, you just get on with life. I love that. You're just a doer, even with a broken leg.
Yeah, well, good. Thank you. What was quite funny is I got there and Heidi was there and she introduced me to this guy who was next to him who was limping. And I said, are you all right? And he says, I rolled my ankle in the third game and haven't been able to play since. And he was a professional footballer, this guy. And then another guy walked in who, weirdly, is a bank manager at your bank.
No.
Yeah, because he's a friend of Seb Bishop's, obviously. And And he was hobbling in. I said, what happened to you? And he says, I tore my calf muscle in the no. warm-up before any of the games. So Seb was three players down before he even started the tournament. Yeah, and I obviously turned up with a broken leg. It's hilarious. Anyway, it's worth having a little look at grassrootssoccer.com or grassrootssoccer on Instagram.
Absolutely
a charity
brilliant.
That's connected to football and some of the poorest places in the world.
I want to tell you about something very happy. Mm-hmm. Because I often feel a bit depressed about the news and about everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. And I have found an organisation, a brand, who is about trying to help companies and countries and brands to be up to time, up to the sort of moment with ideas about climate and how they can change and be better and sustainable, more sustainable and help the world. And what materials they can use, artificial intelligence, about manufacturing. And they just offer their wares and their ideas and all their information and all their resources to these companies to help them be better. Anyway, they are called the World Economic Forum. And the reason I'm telling you this, because that all sounds a bit highbrow, is that I found them by mistake on Instagram. And their posts are so positive. So basically, they say that they're committed to improving the state of the world. So things like, I'm going to turn off the sound. They have five victories in the race to protect the ocean. So it just tells you about victories that happen. It's not saying the High Seas Treaty. You know, I didn't know about that. This deal would protect areas of the ocean that lie outside national boundaries. Mm-hmm. But the UN brokered a deal, and it's the culmination of 19 years of negotiations between 100 countries. Overall, almost two-thirds of the world's ocean is high seas, but less than 2% of the high seas is currently protected. The deal to end harmful fisheries subsides. This was signed by World Trade Organization members last year. The deal clamps down on the subsidies that lead to overfishing and marine ecosystems. But all of this good news, we never hear that on the news.
No.
They would twist that into bad news because fear keeps people coming back to the news.
Yeah.
And it also keeps people buying newspapers, keeps people watching the news. But this page, that's just one post that they do. Scientists have harvested clean energy from the air using the Air Genefact. This venture capitalist invests in black and other underrepresented entrepreneurs.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
NASA wants to send your name into space. Scientists have discovered black algae on glaciers. Curbing it could slow global warming.
Yes, you know, like, okay, yes. So what's it called?
It's called the World Economic Forum. It's on Instagram, and it fills me with so much hope. And it's got 4.7 million followers, just to let you know how big an organisation it is.
Wow,
it's absolutely massive. And if you are a business, I mean, I don't know how many huge businessmen listen to this podcast, but it's really worth, you can join them. And for a cost, they will really give you the kind of premium service where they send you lots of resources that will help you help the world.
Yeah. Yes, it is interesting how we're obsessed with bad news, isn't it? You know, or
we're just
some
fed
kind of
it nonstop, and that kind of knowledge of terrible news is seen as an asset sometimes. You know, when somebody goes, "Well, have you heard what's happened recently?"
I have a theory about this, which is that I think we have a predisposition to feeling anxious. Anyway, I think people do generally, but they don't necessarily know why they're anxious. And then when you learn something tragic or something sad,
well, you see, I was right.
You can hook your anxiety onto it, and then there's a justification for it, so it makes sense all of a sudden.
Mm.
And I think that's, I mean, I'm just talking out loud, really. I don't know whether that's true or not, but that's how it feels to me, that
you're
when you stumble across something that makes you feel anxious, you're quite glad about it because it justifies the anxiety that you feel, where if there's no reason for you feeling anxious, then it's very frustrating that, you know.
Mm.
And that's what I feel a little bit about this AI conversation that seems to be going on at the moment, is that I don't speak to anybody about it who's got anything good to say about it. And I find that very, really weird.
And you don't listen to anybody that's got anything good to say about it, because nobody works in it's got anything good. Like, nobody has anything good to say about it, but it's still happening.
Yes, but I do think there must be good things to say about it. Otherwise, why would anybody create it?
I think there are in the short term.
Yeah, I think there potentially
is
the
long term.
I mean, I still think. I mean, so I listened to two talks. There's a guy called Jeffrey Hinton who's considered the godfather of AI. So you can go and look him. I'm recommending people go and have a watch of him. He's done lots of talks recently because he left Google and has done lots of talks, wants everybody to be aware of AI and its power. And then you put me onto the Diary of a CEO who interviewed another guy who was a chief engineer at Google who's also left. And you know,
I'm going to tell you who that is.
Yes, please do.
No.
He was very good, I thought. But again, you know, pretty doom and gloom about the whole thing. Not entirely sure why anybody's created it. It was just going to be all doom and gloom.
Oh, Mo Gordat. That was it.
Mo Gordat's quite a good name, isn't it?
So he worked at Google. He was ex-Google officer, speaks out on the dangers of AI.
And he worked for Jeffrey Hinton, I believe.
Yes.
He referenced him in the thing. So the Diary of a CEO thing's quite interesting to listen to as well. But I still think they're talking about having a system, an AI system, that's going to have an IQ of 1,600. So
soon.
Yes.
They said in the next three or four months.
Yeah, I think, well, the IQ of 1,600, they're looking in the next 5 to 10 years, before it reaches that level.
No,
I think it'll be 3 or 4 times more intelligent than a human
being.
10 times. In a very short space of time. But they're saying in, 5 to 10 years to come, it will
IQ
be...
IQ of 1,600 is only 10 times cleverer than...
It's
10 times more, and they said
okay,
that would...
Okay, well, maybe it was 16,000 then. But he said in 10 years' time, expect this. You're talking about a system that would completely know how to cure all cancers once you'd fed in the information into it. I don't understand why nobody's even mentioned, the rate it's producing antibiotics and...
No, I guess like at the moment it's doing all of that stuff for us, but when they've
realised
how
that.
Messed up we are, it's found one antibiotic, hasn't it?
No, it's found several, I think. Well, I think it's found a lot of them and they're going through clinical trials at the moment. But I still feel like it's amazing that nobody's got anything positive to say about it, and there must be positives about it.
Mm.
I mean, presumably you could solve climate change. Now, I realise one of the solutions to climate change
is, get rid of
is
us.
To say to get rid of us.
Mm.
But it's a quite sophisticated model. You could say, well, solve climate change without getting rid of us. Like, I don't think it just has to.
But what about HAL in 2001, where HAL is like?
I mean, it was just some figment of some.
No,
imagination.
I know, but if a computer is sentient, so he's talking about the fact that it will be able to be aware and self-aware, and it says, okay, you're saying without humans, but humans are the people that wreck everything. Humans must go. It becomes a rational, interesting, and sensible thing to do for a piece of AI to get rid of the human race.
Well, it could make that suggestion, of course. But I mean, we all know you don't have to be that clever to know that.
And I suppose, put a piece of AI into any enemy's hands and...
Yes, I mean, most of the AI will be defending itself against other AI, I would have thought. That's probably what will happen to a lot of it. Anyway, I downloaded two AI apps this week. One called PhotoLeap, which is a photo-generating AI, and the other one was called Chat on AI, where you can talk to it and ask it things and make it tell you jokes and stuff like that. I found some of it to be quite unsophisticated, if I'm honest.
Mm.
And it's run by ChatGPT-4, which is the most advanced version of ChatGPT-4. There's going to be ChatGPT-5, which I said will be much more sophisticated, so it'll be interesting. But it's also a year out of date, so it doesn't do anything for 2023. So if you ask it for what's the fastest and lightest and latest MacBook computer, it gives you last year's computer.
Mm.
That's quite disappointing as well, really.
Mm.
But let me show you the photo one.
I hate it.
I think this is quite funny.
So
I did a picture of me and my face there, and then I masked my face with this red pen, and then you can then say next, and then type something in it. So I typed Lady Gaga into it. I don't know why I typed that. It was just the first thing that came into my mind. And then you press that, and then obviously some references to Lady Gaga appear on my face there, like that, which is quite funny, isn't it? But I thought what was funnier than that was...
Don't you worry about, putting your face into, I guess our face is everywhere.
That's everywhere, right? Yeah, it's already there. But then I did this invert thing where I kept my face clear and then did that. And then these things turned up, which I thought was very funny. It might be different this time. So my face is my face, but the things around me are now Lady Gaga-esque. I mean, it really made me laugh.
Well,
you know,
you've got breasts.
Yeah, breasticles. Look at that. I know. I've gone. I'm transitioning into Lady Gaga. And then you can just keep saying, well, more results, and then just getting more and more things. But I thought that was quite funny. It did make me laugh quite a bit. And when it comes to your birthday, expect a very funny card.
I mean, the other thing, I guess, that I don't like is the more that we use it, the cleverer it gets. So I keep thinking, I don't want to make it any cleverer than it already is because it's too clever.
Yeah, well, can I do a selfie of you and have a look? Okay, so I'm not quite sure what this one is. I've put you in a different one. I think it might be called Transform or something. And then it's transformed you into some kind of Barbie doll. Oh, there's a guy doll. Why do people want to be dolls all of a sudden? She was a guy doll. She with blonde hair, though. It's quite interesting. In the Mafia, this is you AI'd into a Mafia boss.
Quite a sexy Mafia boss, isn't it?
Yeah.
I am really, this gives me the willies. I'm getting, like, no joy out of it.
What I've realised, actually, is all this stuff's existed for ages. Snapchat's had these filters for as long as I can remember.
And also, I just think, you know, we've spent 20 minutes doing that. Or 10 minutes, 15 minutes doing faces. And I just think AI is going to, it's just another thing to...
Yeah, distract you.
Distract you from life and people and connecting and nature and...
I don't think there's a huge amount to worry about at the moment.
Promise?
So don't get to, promise. I think most of this stuff's already existed. I mean, I typed into the AI chat the other day, like, what is the meaning of life? And it's exactly the same as asking Siri or Alexa.
Right now.
Yeah, right now. It's just the same. It's the same machinery, you know. Well, I don't know, you know, I mean, we've been asking Alexa stuff for bloody ages. It's still a bit crap.
AI.
She is AI. It's exactly what she is. Let's go.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I am sorry about how I am around AI.
All right. Go on.
No, but listen, I just want to say that. I don't like it. It frightens the bejesus out of me. I won't be downloading any. I know how it works.
Yeah.
I don't need it in my life. So I don't want to give it any more intelligence because obviously my searches will make it so clever.
Yeah, I imagine.
My searches include this.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy I told you about the other day.
Yes.
Disappointing affirmations
These
on
are
Instagram.
Brilliant. Yeah.
His name is Dave Tarnowski,
mm-hmm.
and he has got an awesome 718,000 followers on Instagram. Yeah, affirmations on Instagram are quite annoying. It really would take one, a really mega one, to leap out at me now. I feel like I've seen every single affirmation there is known to man. And David takes these affirmations and makes them funny. So, do something nice for someone today. Leave them alone. Life is hard enough without your bullshit. This too shall pass. And then some other bullshit will come and take its place. It never fucking ends. It gets easier. Eventually, you just settle for what you have and stop trying to be happy. Take a break. You've earned it after doing so much nothing with your life. Why do something right away when you can wait for it to give you a panic attack?
you are
responsible for your own life. Who the fuck thought that was a good idea? I mean, these are so funny because these are so me.
How many followers have they got?
18,000.
18,000? That's not a lot.
718,000.
18,000? It's rubbish.
I've said that a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot, yeah.
Bipolar, ADHD, mental health advocate, realistic mental attitude. Love it.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
So disappointing affirmations on Insta.
Instagrams. Last week, we got lots of people... writing into us on the mentions to watch Once Upon a Time in Northern Ireland on the BBC iPlayer. So we watched episode one of that this week, and it is extremely good. Episode one
very
was
hard-hitting,
fantastic.
Isn't it?
Yeah. What I like, I think, is just the honesty of the contributors. Mm. Some of them are on the loyalist side, and some are on the other side. But they're both talking very openly and honestly about what it was like for them back then. And it's really interesting, I think, because obviously I think you can automatically make the assumption that anyone joining the IRA is a bad person, is a terrorist, and they're fighting for the wrong side, you know. And then when you hear their position and how the picture they paint for what it was like for them then, you would think, oh, if I was part of that group, if you like, you would feel pretty hard done by, really. Mm. And you would be motivated, I would have thought, to join the IRA, you know. It's just really, really fascinating. Mm. And yeah, it's just been it's a real eye opener.
And also, I think,
prattled on about how much I want to know about Northern Ireland, but this is really, I'm learning an enormous amount that I had no idea of, actually.
I thought it was interesting, the guy that was talking about the unionists and saying how he said, "You're making me think about things that I've never thought about before.
Mm.
And I've never really questioned why I did something or why I joined a fight or why I hated them."
Mm.
And it was like he was going through an enormous kind of mental shift in his head. Not that he'd done anything wrong, because he totally was saying, look, I did what I did because I felt very strongly about it then. But it was very interesting later in life to go back and assess his motives and why he did something.
I think what I would like, which this doesn't seem to cover, because it starts with some words that talk about in 1921 how, you know, Ireland became divided, but didn't go into any real detail about why it became divided and why Northern Ireland was carved out in such a way and made British. And that's something I would really like. So if anyone's got a little documentary or a book or something like that I could read on that, that would be good, because I still don't fully appreciate or understand why it is carved up the way it is and
yes, I don't
what's the
understand.
History around that. You know, I think you bought me a book a long time ago called The Politics of Geography.
Mm.
And there's something in that about the geography of Northern Ireland, which is one of the reasons it got carved up
prisoner,
in the way it did.
Prisoners of Geography.
The Prisoners of Geography, that's right, yeah. And a lot of it to do with...
Really interestingly, it starts off with Russia and...
Russia and China?
Ukraine? So menopausal. Thank you, Ukraine. Yeah. It talks about the mountains in Russia and Ukraine and where they're positioned and why it is.
It gets carved up that way.
It gets carved up that way, but pre Russia invading.
Oh yeah, yeah,
Ukraine.
Of course,
so
yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's really interesting to find out why Ukraine's important to Russia.
Mm.
Yeah, but, it's fascinating. We should look at that book again.
For everybody who recommended Once Upon a Time in Northern Ireland. Oof,
thank you.
It's so good.
And very interesting. We got multiple recommendations on that.
Yeah, we did, yeah. So I think there's 6 episodes of it. The first one's 77 minutes long, so it's quite good to do one
meaty.
A night, and it's quite it's meaty, yeah. And it's bloody well done. The archive footage they've got is just brilliant.
Mm.
You're just... I'm going through a very nostalgic period at the moment. I think it was talking about Big Addy the other day and what life was like in the late 70s, early 80s, and...
Mm.
How much fun it was, really. Mm. Well, it seems so complicated these days. Mm. Jesus.
It was really much more simple back then. It really was. Well, that's computers, and our lives are more connected to computers than people.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I want to talk about Rosemary Schrager.
Uh-huh.
Because we had a really fucking funny dinner with her last weekend on Saturday night. Some friends of ours are good mates with her. She lives in their village. She came to dinner. I've met her a few times before. I've had a brilliant train journey with Rosemary Shager. She's so old school and hilarious.
Yes, she
and
is.
She reminds me a lot of Miriam Margolis, but a kind of...
safer?
Just a slightly safer version. She's writing, so she got this amazing three-book deal with a publisher's, and it's so impressive what she did, but it's like the words cozy crime novel have been used. I think the most recent one is called The Proof in the Pudding, obviously all around food stuffs.
Yeah. She made pudding the other night, by the way.
Oh, it was so good. Oh my God, it was so good. But I just want to talk to her about talk to you about her character, because she's really funny. So the protagonist in the book is a chef. So the detective is a chef, and she's called Prudence Bulstrode. And we were discussing, she said she's about 55, and I was like, oh, that's my age. She went, can you act? I was like, no. And she went, oh, God, well, that's no good to me. And so she was talking, we were discussing who could be Prudence. I mean, obviously Dawn French springs to mind.
Yeah,
she'd be
course.
Amazing. Olivia Colman, she'd be so good. Fiona Shaw, was in, she was in Harry Potter. She was in, Three Men and a Baby.
Blimey, you're going back a while there. Right, okay.
Hold on, let me find her for you. Fiona Shaw. That's her. Fiona, she'd be great. Prudence Bulstrode.
Oh, yes, I do know exactly who she is.
She's so good. She
reminds me of a therapist in Fleabag.
Yes, she's the therapist in Fleabag. There you go. Just recommending that. Rosemary Shrager. She's got a three-book deal. This is the third in her line of three books.
They're murder mysteries.
They're murder mysteries. Yes. And right romping read. So there you go.
Now, we were sent something this week.
Oh, yeah, this is a great idea.
So it's a little thing. Davina and Michael, a couple of gifts enclosed from us all here at A Toast in the Post is what the business is called. A little like you, Michael. We set up in lockdown when our exhibition business was forced on hold for 2 years due to the pandemic. We couldn't just sit around hoping all will be okay, so we set up a little business. We send mini drinks, gifts, each personalised with a photo message card to celebrate moments in life when you can't be together in person. It's a really feel-good gift to send and receive. It's called... and it's lovely to be sending you guys one. And this is from Jane. What does that say? Sorry, I've got my glasses.
Here.
Yeah, you have a reader.
It says, P.S. Cheers to contentment. Davina, I caught up with your Stephen Bartlett podcast while walking my dog. Completely got me. Big love. Can I just say, she sent us a card with a picture of her face on it, which I really, really like. I want to see what she looks like. And also, she's given us an about on the card. Which was so good.
Good. So it's called atoastinthepost.co.uk. And this is not too dissimilar to the cheerings idea. It's like instead of sending flowers, you send a little gift of something that you know someone would really like. I got a very little mini bottle of Moët Chandon, or Moët Chandon, I think. Somebody's corrected me once or twice. And it's a belated birthday present here. So it says 50 and fabulous, and then a little note, and then it's in a really nice little presentation box. And I have to say, when I opened it, it filled my heart with joy.
And you know what I got?
Yeah.
No Secco.
You got a No Secco, that's right, yeah, which is a non-alcoholic Prosecco, I believe.
And they can do like little bottles of gin and little cans of tonic for you. You can get beer, you can get cards written, you can get photos printed. There's personalised messages, they do little coasters. To put your drinks on. It's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant idea and a lovely present for someone. And just to give you a rough idea, the prices basically range from around £28 all the way down to £19. There is quite a big one as well, I think for about 40, somewhere, £45 for Moët. It's a Moët set.
Oh, okay.
Quite expensive.
What do you get in the Moët set?
You get a Moët and Chandon Brut and one in rosé.
Ooh.
Lovely.
I love a bit of rosé.
But it's just a It's a great gift idea.
It really, really is. And it was a great thing to receive as well. So thank you very much indeed, Jane. Right, cheered me up.
A toast in the post.co.uk.
Because I'm waiting for me Zaha Berlin shoes, yeah, which have been held back by Parcel
Fucking
Force.
Brexit.
Because I think I've
Fucking
been
Brexit. You've got to
fucked
pay
over
the,
by
you've
Brexit.
Got to, yeah.
I've got to pay £54 in tax to go and collect them from...
So, when's that going to end?
And they were already £259.
It's got to end.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. What I'm assuming it's Brexit, but I don't know if it is or isn't, but... Either way, it's bloody expensive. But Toast in the Post cheered me up as a result.
I've got a website to talk about.
Yep.
Brownbeautytalk.com. Mm-hmm. We met these ladies at... Because all week you've been in Harvey Nichols, your hairdryer. And mm-hmm. we went to go and launch it the other night. And I forgot to talk about it on last week's podcast.
Oh, yeah.
But we met these two brilliant ladies. And they said, oh, we're beauty journalists and we've got a website. And I was like, oh, tell me about your website. And it's called brownbeauty.com. So they cover skincare, makeup and hair care for black and Asian women. And they do really nice blogs and lots of information and about black-owned male grooming brands. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had something so interesting today. We were talking with Oti Mabuse because I was working with her. And I was talking about how interesting it is for mixed-race couples when the white woman has a mixed race child, how she's then suddenly, not having been brought up with Afro yes. hair or black hair or any other kind of sort of hair that is a speciality for that nationality, then you don't know how to do it. Mm-hmm. You have to go on a kind of crash course of how to braid hair, what to do, where to go, what to use, the products to use. And actually, then Oti was saying, yes, because mixed race hair is completely different from a full Afro hair.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a much softer texture.
Yes,
it's kind of slightly easier to manage and it needs different products.
Yeah.
But she said, what's interesting is there is nothing for black... There's lots of stuff for white women talking, aimed at white women for mixed race hair, but not for black women with mixed race hair. And why isn't there that? And I thought, oh, God, this is so interesting. There are very specialist niche needs that where women need educating and a bit of support and help with their kids and their hair. And where do they go to get it?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody needs to start a site to support women,
with
mothers.
Education, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's this website called?
Brownbeautytalk.com.
Nice.
And it's really good, and they are lovely women. I'm just going to see if they've gotten about us. They have. Great. So they saw a gap in the market. It's a beauty platform aimed at black and Asian women in the UK. It's created by a group of women who are unashamedly passionate about all things beauty. And UK market is valued at over £5 billion. On average, black and Asian women spend around £6 on hair and beauty for every pound that a white British woman spends, and yet they are not really represented in the beauty industry. Our platform is a space where black and Asian women can take a few minutes out from their busy and hectic lives to indulge in all things beauty. And it started in 2013, and it's been listed as one of the top 10 beauty blogs in the UK.
Wow.
So they've really done really, really well.
Great.
So, brownbeautytalk.com.
So, I've been watching a documentary without you. Did you know that?
Doing something I do now.
Behind your back. I was a bit bored on my own here the other night.
Now, you see, that's clever.
Yeah?
That's really good.
What?
You've won me over.
I've won you over.
Yeah. Were you lonely?
I was lonely.
Without me?
I was lonely without you. I was bored.
Did you need to watch it?
A bit sad. I needed something just to take my mind off all the...
Yeah, as long as it wasn't Tetris, I'm fine.
It wasn't Tetris. Somebody's watched that on our Apple system.
Yeah, and it wasn't us, and Chester can't get over who it is.
But he has seen it, though.
Yes, he has.
He just doesn't think he's watched it at the house.
He does. He knows he's watched it with someone. He thinks it's me, but it's not, or you.
So, Conor McGregor. You know him?
Why do I know Conor McGregor?
He is the... UFC MMA
yes!
super fighter
yes!
guy. Yeah. So I don't really like him or anything like that, but I'm slightly fascinated by why people like him, you know.
Yeah.
And that's why I thought, I'm going to watch this. I did come across him a few years ago when he decided to have a boxing match with Floyd Mayweather. Now, Floyd Mayweather was one of the greatest kind of middleweight, I think, or might have been super middleweight or something like that, boxers of all time. He was brilliant. And Colin, I like to call him, but he's called Connor. Andy said, Colin McGregor, who's that? Your gardener. I was like, no, it's Connor McGregor decided he would offer out Floyd Mayweather in some kind of exhibition fight. And I thought, well, this will be interesting because he's an MMA fighter, which is a mixed martial arts fighter. So he kicks and punches and scratches and headlocks and all that. And boxing, yeah. You're not allowed to do any of that. So I was quite fascinated by this fight. Now, for me, boxing is the kind of ultimate sport. It's the most exhausting, most brutal, most difficult thing, I think, to do. And when you see a very highly skilled boxer boxing, it is ballet, you know. I mean, it is just amazing. I really, really appreciate what it's like to do it.
Mm.
So I watched that, and Conor McGregor, who was arguably the kind of hardest man on the planet, got a good kick in by Floyd Mayweather. He just couldn't manage the boxing technique. And it is, once the boxer has worked out the way to get to you, they just absolutely annihilate it. So anyway, I saw him get absolutely battered in that fight, and I thought, oh, you know, good, because he was so arrogant about it, and he's just unbearably arrogant, I can't think of a better word for it. So anyway, I thought, let me see what this guy's about. He feels a bit Andrew Tate for me, you know. Men really love him, you know, and they love kind of the masculinity and all that testosterone and everything. So I started to watch it, and it was very, very interesting because it's a really good warts and all documentary. You see his wife and kids and his house and where he lives and his training partners and all his team and all the rest of it. And he's exposed in it as being an absolute bully, I would say, and quite horrible.
Oh, I thought horrible you were going to say.
Well,
he's the nicest guy you've ever met.
Yeah, he's a kind of showman, really, and he's Irish. And there's something about the Irish, I think,
you know,
like that Bono's got it, and Michael O'Flatley's got it, and Conor McGregor's got
Michael
it.
Michael O'Flatley.
Is he not Michael O'Flatley?
No.
Is he now? I got that from the extras with Ricky Gervais. When the priest asks him, he goes to a church, like a prayer meeting, and the priest says, oh, so what church do you go to? And he goes, oh, one in Reading. And he goes, what's the name of the dean there? And he goes, Father O'Flatley, Father Michael O'Flatley. So I just always called him O'Flatley instead. Anyway, Michael Flatley's got it. Is this what funny? I can't even describe what it is, but it's this capacity to become globally famous, hugely talented, but from this very kind of what feels like parochial background, this very small culture that just spreads all over the world. I don't know what it is, but he's got it as well, where you think very peculiar kind of talent, and I don't really know what it is. But it's very, very engaging, this documentary, and it's very, very interesting. Because when he's not on show, there is something very redeeming about him, very nice
is
about
there?
Him. Yeah, yeah, there is. And you realise he's kind of doing a job and he's entertaining.
Is he a bully, though?
Well, when they do these big press conferences and they're both sat there, he is largely bullying the other person and taunting
bravado.
Them. It is, but he's very nasty with it, I would say. Mm. It's not like, come over here, I'll give you a good kicking. He says some very, very unpleasant things about the other person.
Mm.
Anyway, I've been watching it and he's getting his ass kicked in quite a few different ways, which is quite a nice thing to see. But I would like at the end to see some triumph. I've no idea what's going to happen. I've only watched two episodes and there looks to be about four or five of them.
Mm.
But if you like sport and it's a sport that you're unfamiliar with and he's a person you're a bit unfamiliar with, then I would definitely watch it because it's definitely engaging, hugely entertaining and fascinating as well. I couldn't think of anything worse than getting into an MMA ring
or my God.
One of these UFC rings
no.
and forced to fight somebody
oh, no.
with my fists and stuff.
And feet.
It is just horrible. Mm. And the amount of blood and everything. I just think, who the fuck is doing this? Who wants to do this?
And who wants to watch?
Me, I want to watch. I just don't want to... just don't want to get in there, you know. But I also feel
give
that...
You, I'm going to give you a prize.
What for?
So, for 10,
yeah.
Can you tell me who Mr. McGregor is?
Mr. McGregor?
Mm-hmm. Why are you thinking about Mr. McGregor like McGregor? Why is that name familiar to you?
Greg from Succession?
No. Nope.
I don't know.
It's from your childhood.
Is it? McGregor, Mr. McGregor. I don't know.
It's the farmer in Peter Rabbit.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there might be some nostalgic kickback.
That's where it's come from.
Yeah.
I'm afraid you don't get the prize.
Is Peter Rabbit was... Who wrote Peter Rabbit?
Beatrix Potter.
Ah, the Lake District.
Yeah.
You know, she bought, like, huge chunks of the Lake District, Beatrix Potter.
Mm.
Did you know she drew all the drawings? I think she drew all the drawings as well.
Didn't she write the books
And
at
somebody
the
else
house?
Drew all the drawings. Didn't they?
Sorry, I was just letting you finish. She wrote the books in this house
mm-hmm.
that we filmed in at Christmas.
In Windermere?
For... No.
No. Sorry.
Fucking hell.
Jesus.
Shut up. that we filled in at Christmas with Anton Deck.
Ah.
Beatrix Potter was an English writer, illustrator, natural scientist and conservationist. She's best known for her children's books. Featuring animals. They've sold more than 250 copies worldwide. Just trying to find... She was born, numerous pets, and spent holidays in Scotland and the Lake District developing a love of the landscape. She wrote over 60 books. With the proceeds from the books and a legacy from an aunt, she bought Hilltop Farm near Sawrey,
mm-hmm.
a village in the Lake District. And over the following decades, she purchased additional farms to preserve the unique hill countryside.
That's right. So no one could build on them, basically.
No one could, yeah. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
She died of pneumonia and heart disease.
Oh.
But she was 77.
Wow. She did.
And leaving all her property to the National Trust,
that's
almost
right.
all of it.
Yes.
She is credited with preserving much of the land that now constitutes the Lake District National Park.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, amazing. You know why I know that?
I love this podcast for things like that. Yeah, go on. Why?
Because I do Dawn French's hair, and she played Beatrix Potter recently in a piece about her life, which I've not seen yet, but I would like to recommend that and then also watch it myself maybe before next week's episode.
She stayed there when she was a young girl.
Oh, is that where you filmed?
At Ray Castle, no.
Oh, okay. all over the place today.
It isn't. But that's where she stayed when she was 16.
Okay.
And that started her long love of the Lake District.
God, I love the Lake District.
Oh, it's so beautiful, isn't it?
Brilliant, yeah.
Can I just suggest something? Because I think
let me just finish off.
Oh, sorry.
Colin McGregor. He's on Netflix now. It's brand new, really. It's only been out for a week or two, so give it a whirl.
We should get your son in because I asked him to think of a recommendation
earlier. Yeah. Let me give
him
a shout. He might not have been preparing himself. I know what he's like.
So, Sonny is Michael's son. He's his oldest son. And he's staying with us tonight. And we asked him if he wanted to recommend something tonight.
No.
He's
done.
He doesn't want to.
He's knackered.
I mean, he's working bloody hard
at
the moment, isn't he?
He's working on Celebs Go Dating.
It's exhausting.
All them celebs are exhausted. Did they ask you to go on Celebs Go Dating once?
They did, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was quite funny because I think...
That'd be hilarious, that.
Almost the person that asked me to go on it was like, we're asking you to go on it, but don't go on it. It was really, really funny.
It's very funny.
Can I just... I've got one more brilliant
one. Yeah, of course.
Have we got time?
Yeah, of course. I've got a little one as well.
This is just called funnyfuzzy.co.uk.
Mm-hmm.
Funnyfuzzy.co.uk. If you've got a dog and you ever travel in the car or you want to take it anywhere, this is such a clever thing. So basically they've got these kind of, it's like a dog duvet carrier bag. So you get the dog in the duvet carrier bag. It's called a pet booster dog car seat bed. And there's a waterproof travel dog car seat bed. And you put the dog in it, then you put it on the chair and it is surrounded. You know, sometimes if you put a towel down or whatever, if you break, the dog goes off off the edge of the seat. So this is for a seat. You can attach the seat belt through the handles of it so
Keeps
it stays attached
Great.
To the car.
Yep.
And also they've got these mega ones to put in the boot.
Mm-hmm.
again, you know, not very comfy for a dog, a boot sometimes. They can't properly lie down. It's not squishy. Their head's against the hard bits of the car. If the car suddenly breaks. These beds look so comfy. There is a sale on at the moment on some of the big beds, but they also do loads of different kinds of dog seats, double dog seats. They do, I mean, they've got everything covered for dogs, and they've got some cat stuff as well, although my cat would just jump out of that. But they've got waterproof dog raincoats. They've got amazing beds. They've got beds shaped as Bourbon biscuits. Bourneville. That's a cross between. Anyway, I love this brand. I think they're absolutely brilliant. They've got a really good sale on at the moment, and they've got everything covered for dogs. They've got goggles for dogs. I guess, is that for the bright sunshine or something?
You know what they call them?
What?
Doggles.
Got doggles. Beds and blankets. They've got leads and harnesses. It's very good. Funnyfuzzy.co.uk.
Nice. Cheryl, your makeup artist.
Oh, yeah.
My good friend. Bought me a birthday present today.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And I'm not going to talk about what it is at the moment because I am probably going to recommend these things. I'm going to play with them first. But she bought me a series of things that she uses. And when I saw what she had, I was like, what are they? She said, oh, I use these all the time. And then she said, you know what, I'm going to get you some for your birthday. So she did. That's not what I'm recommending. I'm going to save that for another week.
The paper.
What I'm recommending is the wrapping paper.
Oh, my God.
She had personalised wrapping paper made for me.
Good. So with a Vespa on it.
It's got Vespas on it and it says MD London on it. And I was like, Cheryl.
It's the best thing I've ever seen.
What the fuck is going on here? Why does my wrapping paper have my name on it? So I found a place called Princeter, princeter.co.uk. And they will do personalised birthday wrapping paper. And this is almost as good as the gift itself. I liked it
totally.
That much. So you can upload pictures of your face or a memorable photo of a holiday or a scene or something like that, or something you really like, if it's your partner's car or golf clubs or whatever it is, or a funny picture. You can just upload it there and then get the wrapping paper made with that picture on. And, of course, you kind of go, yeah, of course, like, of course they can do that. They can do anything these days. But I've never received it before.
Mm.
And after receiving it, I was so happy. I didn't even want to open it.
It's
it was like,
so
I'll just take
good.
The box with my name on it. Mm. So, princeton.co.uk, and then you just click on personalised birthday wrapping paper, or they've got wedding wrapping paper, or all the other kind of types of wrapping paper that you would need. And then you can personalise it with whatever it is you like. But I thought it was brilliant, and it filled my little heart with joy.
So, so good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, shout outs.
Yes.
So we've got Andrea Orm, 79, has replied to our story. Hey, I've been a little late to the party, about a year. Wow, absolutely fabulous pod. It accompanies on my dog walk, but she's just broken her cruciate ligament. Oh, the poor thing. So out of action for a while. I still continue, but it should come with a warning. It makes me want to buy and try pretty much everything.
Yes.
I simply can't afford to. Hoping for a lottery win. Can't wait for each weekly incredible installment. Keep up the great work, both of you. Much love, Andrea. Thank you, Andrea, and I hope your dog's cruciate ligament gets fixed very soon. It's a brutal injury, the cruciate ligament.
So bad.
It takes ages to heal.
Unfortunately, we did that to quite a few celebrities on the jump.
Oh, they did do the cruciate. Yeah, it's a real bad skiing accident.
Really
bad. So Jenny Chandler, Miss Chandler, says, hi, I'm almost caught up with your podcast. I've been listening on my drive to work where I'm doing my teacher training, and then I listen on the way home again. I'm gutted as I've almost caught up. Yeah, sorry. Anyway, I had a recommendation for you. I'm not sure if it's still available, but if so, it's a must watch. The School for Stammerers. It's so amazing. It had me crying all the way through. I'd like to... I think you'd both love it, as it's so inspiring and heartwarming. One of the best episodes you did on This Time Next Year was the stammering
guy.
Yes,
it was amazing, wasn't it?
Fuck it. Absolutely not.
It really,
really
was so good.
It's such a peculiar thing. I'm not sure whether you call it an illness or not, but I can imagine the School for Stammerers
is
good. Yeah, condition. That's a good word for it. Yeah,
it's not really. Yeah, it's not an illness. It's hard to get better from. It's something that happens to you. And you.
I was Gareth Gates' hairdresser for quite a long time when he was a pop idol and all of that stuff, and then we toured the country for 3 months, and it's very, very fascinating that you can sing perfectly, brilliantly well, and everything works. And then when you come to talk, it doesn't work. You know, it was a fascinating thing to watch and spend so much time with him. Mm. And then I saw him on BBC Breakfast a couple of weeks ago. I almost didn't recognise him. It was so funny seeing him again, you know. Mm. He still looks very good. He was very handsome, I thought, Gareth Gates. Mm. But he's still, you know, he still had the condition. You know, it wasn't quite like it once was, but it must be a really interesting thing to struggle with, I think. But that sounds really good. School for Stammerers, Jenny Chandler. Thanks very much indeed for that.
Hi, Davina and Michael, absolutely love your podcast. I've listened to all of them over the last few months. Have you just done this? Since I discovered it, my 15-year-old son Kieran and I have just finished Ted Lasso.
Oh.
Binge-watched, thanks to your recommendation. Oh my God, how brilliant was it? And how sad was the last episode?
Have you seen it yet?
No, not the final. Yeah, yeah. I also wanted to mention and recommend an awesome barber after listening to last week's podcast. His name is Craig of Craig's Barbershop. And not only is he a brilliant barber, but he specialises in neurodiverse, special needs, gender diverse, and is a mental health safe space. I think I've seen him. Yeah. Craig's Barbershop, Bolton. Will you look that up on your phone? Craig's Barbershop, Bolton. And he does this amazing stuff around hair and distracting people and talking to people.
I think I follow him.
He's amazingly patient, especially with children who struggle to sit for a haircut, offering a special sensory area to help them relax and distract them from what can feel like a traumatic experience for some. Keep up the great work. Absolutely love you too. Thanks, Liz Bartleby.
Yes. So it's Craig's Barbershop Bolton.
Yes.
On Instagram.
Yes.
Gender,
do you follow him?
Diverse. I don't, but he's following me, so I'm going to follow back. But yes, there's another barber that I followed recently who also was doing a kid's hair who had autism and ADHD, and he just did a fantastic job of getting the kid like...
Yeah.
Whoosh, and it was just really
it's
funny.
It's lovely, isn't it?
And the barber himself has got Tourette's.
Oh,
and
I've
so
seen that.
He swears
that.
Quite a lot, but the little kid's hair he was doing was really laughing, and it was just like a very beautiful
And I also, I think,
moment,
if,
really.
If you've got something that you're embarrassed about or you find difficult or you've got a tick or something. If somebody's swearing and they've got Tourette's, it's so helpful.
Yes.
It makes you feel less
conspicuous.
Lizzie also says, thanks for the menopausing book. And she's 2 months back on, she's 2 months on HRT and she's got her energy back. I found it quite difficult to talk tonight.
I think
we're so tired.
Shattered. Yeah.
And it is now 10:30 at night and I've been... Yeah. working and you've been working since 9 o'clock
whatever
this morning
it was, yeah.
But I have enjoyed it. I think we've talked about some good things and I've still got some good things to talk about next week, so this is great.
Yeah, me too. I've got a backlog of stuff. Yes, I mean we are a bit tired.
We're a bit tired.
Yeah. Should we go to bed?
Yeah, can we spoonies?
I don't like spooning anymore. I like forking instead. Yeah, it's quite good, isn't it?
You just made that up.
I made it up today.
What were you thinking about if I say spooning to you?
No, we're on a WhatsApp group for a festival that we're going to this year.
Yeah.
And in the WhatsApp group, somebody said, I think it's just one bed and we've all got a spoon. And I said, no, let's all fork. And I thought, that joke is going to stick around for a while. I'm going to use that a lot.
And other people are going to use it. This is amazing.
I can have it, yeah. We're not sporking tonight.
Sporking?
We're not spooning tonight, we're walking. Oh my God, I'm out of control.
Anyway, everybody, we love you.
Yeah.
We love Colin McGregor, we love Conor McGregor, we love Mr. McGregor.
Yeah, we love all the
McGregors.
We love
all the McGregors.
Beatrix Potter, Northern Ireland, we love you all.
Good night.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.